This morning's reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 11. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated, receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those whose faith and patient inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves. And in all this, in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, Nigel, thank you so much for reading. Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we have the privilege now to hear you speak through your word in the Bible. As we look at a particularly hard-hitting passage, please teach us and grow us and help us to put your word into practice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, let me tell you about my friend Russ. That's not his real name, but I'll call him Russ. I met Russ back in 2009 at a big church in London. And I remember Russ being so, so welcoming to me. I'd only been a Christian for about a year or so, and he really took me under his wing. And he was the one who encouraged me along to church. He encouraged me along to a small group. And he encouraged me to read Christian books. He even gave me this Christian book. It's a classic, Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper. But over the years, we lost touch, moved churches. But then a few years later, we bumped into each other in East London. And I asked him, how's everything going? Like, I haven't seen you in ages. How's church going? I'm not really going to church at the moment. Life's just so busy at the moment. I've been working late. Definitely can't make a midweek group, but I'll definitely go back to church at some point. I know that Jesus died for me. I'm just not doing church right now. We agreed to meet up, but it never happened. Perhaps you know someone similar to Russ. Someone so eager and enthusiastic, but as time goes on, life takes over and priorities change, and perhaps someone like Russ has gone backwards. And maybe we think that's okay. And so the question we want to ask this morning is, does it really matter if we continue to grow as Christians? Does it really matter if we continue to grow as Christians? I think it's a question right at the heart of our passage this morning. Because like Russ, and like lots of us, the people with whom this letter was written to was addressed. And they've been Christians for a long time, perhaps even decades. And they started eager and enthusiastic. But actually, some of them had seemed to have become a little bit spiritually tired. Listen to how the author describes them throughout the passage. Chapter 5, verse 11, dull of hearing. Chapter 5, verse 13, immature children who haven't learned to eat solid food yet. And chapter 6, verse 12, sluggish or lazy. It's a passage all about growth, maturity, and lazy listening. But again, how much does that really matter? Because the Christians being addressed at the time, perhaps they'd already had years of Christianity under their belts. Perhaps they were keen in their teens. They gave plenty in their 20s. All of the above, none of the above. But who cares? Life is busy. Got SATs, 11 plus, GCSEs, A-levels, uni, finding a job, work, more work, family life, promotion, the kids' SATs, the kids' 11 plus, the kids' GCSEs, the kids' A-levels, the kids' work, retirement, grandchildren. Lots of things pulling us in all sorts of directions. Does it really matter if we continue to grow as Christians? Well, look down with me to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 8. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. It really matters. It's a matter of life and death. Now, I want to say that this passage is a wake-up call to us all. When I think about the danger that my friend Russ is in, it's a huge wake-up call, isn't it? But it's also a wake-up call for whoever we are in this room today. Because whatever happened to Russ could happen to us. Whether you're just starting out looking into Christian things, or you're a teenager who's grown up in St. John's, a city worker, a senior, or even a staff worker, if it can happen to Russ, it can happen to us. Does it really matter whether we continue to grow as Christians? It really matters. The living God wants you to know this morning that there is a real danger if you don't continue to grow as a Christian. We all need to grow continue to grow. And our passage this morning does drive at that. It drives home that point in two parts. Firstly, a warning, that's the first half of the passage. And secondly, an encouragement, that's the second half. And there's an outline there on your handouts, and you might find it useful to follow along as we go through. But first of all, we're going to be looking at the warning. So point one, don't be lazy listeners. Don't be lazy listeners. Now remember, the book of Hebrews is a sermon, and we're jumping back into it after a few weeks in Job. So far we've seen that in the book of Hebrews, it's written to a group of Christians who are tempted to give up. But the author wants to give them a bigger picture of the Lord Jesus. And so he describes that Jesus' U-shaped journey throughout, showing that Jesus means more. Now, why don't I read the verse from the verse before our passage, chapter 5, verse 10. Being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. It's like the preacher says, Melchizedek. He looks up and he can see people starting to nod off, their eyes starting to glaze. Melchizedek snore. Here we go. So the preacher presses pause at verse 10 and then says this in verse 11. About this, that's Jesus and his high priesthood, we have much to say. And it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Don't be a lazy listener. Keep growing. He's not saying they're not clever enough. He's not saying they need a PhD in theology. He's saying they're lazy listeners. He's saying perhaps they think they've heard it all before. Perhaps they've heard everything they need to hear and don't want to hear any more about the Lord Jesus. And that means they're immature. Don't be lazy listeners, because it leads to immaturity. I want to show you, this book belongs to our two-year-old daughter. It's the ABC, the biggest story Bible. I'm sure lots of you have that already. And I like it for two particular reasons. Because it teaches both the alphabet and the Bible story. So first of all, here we are. If we open it up here. A, in the beginning, was Adam and Eve. B, everything was beautiful in God's good garden. And so it goes on and on. Now, our two-year-old daughter is really enjoying, beginning to enjoy those words. But can you imagine if Lynn caught me nestled into this particular board book as my bedtime reading? Well, I think we'd all be concerned, wouldn't we? Verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles or the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. Now, this is milk, baby food, not solid food. Now, imagine if in a couple of weeks' time, at the church lunch, as Tony was just telling us about, and everyone's bringing out their sandwiches and their sausage rolls and their sweet treats. And then I bring this out. That's a baby pouch, and it's 7+ months, actually, as well. It's organic, I think, as well. And it's got beef, meatballs, and sweet potato. Now, can you imagine if I just kind of opened that up, and during that meal, I just got a pen. Here we are, the baby food. I just gave my piece a bit. Gave it a nice little bit there. Just like, now, I'm not going to do that because that would be totally inappropriate, wouldn't it? It would be totally inappropriate for me to do that. We need more than that to grow into mature adults. We need solid food, solid Bible teaching to help us grow up. And this is what we continue to hear in chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. He's not saying leave Jesus or his death and resurrection behind or something else. He's saying that it's good. We can come to know Jesus at a basic level. And that is really good. Milk is good. Baby food is really good for babies. But we can't stay there. Don't be lazy listeners, because it leads to immaturity. But lazy listening isn't just immature. It's dangerous. Don't be lazy listeners, because it leads to being burned. Let's read from chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. For land that is drunk the rain and often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated, receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. Now, these are really stern verses, aren't they? But they're there precisely to shake us all up and to stop us from snoozing. Did you see what he's saying? He's talking about Christians who stop being Christians, who fall away. And he's saying that it is impossible for them to come back. He's saying it's impossible for anyone who has been enlightened, who has tasted the heavenly gift and shared in the Holy Spirit. These are people who look and sound Christian, but chapter 6, verse 6 again, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. It's a danger sign. Danger, falling rocks. Danger, cliff edge. Now, when I was a secondary school teacher, I remember being roped into helping on a geography field trip on Walton on the Naze in Essex. We were there to see the rapidly eroding cliff edges. But despite constant warnings not to get close to the cliff edge, both from us as teachers and the numerous warning signs all along the cliff, a group of Year 10 students, as Year 10 students do, wandered scarily close during lunchtime. Now, this is a cliff that erodes at around 5 meters per year. Where these kind of Year 10s were walking could suddenly have collapsed at any moment, and they'd die. I'm sure they didn't leave that morning on the coach. They didn't leave school on that morning thinking, I'm going to deliberately put myself in danger. But they haven't been listening, have they? They failed to notice the signs, the clear warnings. They've become dull of hearing. I remember that specific moment when the head of department sprinted over and roared them back to safety. I've never seen anything like it. It's exactly what the author is trying to do here by helping the dull of hearing in Hebrews to listen and see the danger that they're in. The question is, will they listen? Will they listen to the warning, or will they give up and fall away? Don't bank on the idea that you'll be growing again tomorrow, next week, next year, you'll get that promotion when the kids leave home, because that day may never come. If you want to be Christian tomorrow, don't stop listening today. I've heard the Christian life being described like a bike. You're either moving forwards or you're falling off. If you want to be Christian tomorrow, Don't stop listening today. Don't be lazy listeners, because it leads to immaturity and it leads to being burned. But we're not ending here, because we need to think about the other side of the coin. We're moving from warning to encouragement. So point one, don't be a lazy listener. And then point two, listen like those who trust God's promise. So I want us to hear the tone of that, of those words, from warning to assurance. So chapter 6, verse 9. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your hard work and the love that you have shown in for his name in serving the saints as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, I want to say, just before I move on to that, I just want to say quickly just a couple of things. It's worth being clear on what God has said so far. Some of us will know friends like my friend Russ and family who have tragically kind of stopped calling themselves Christians. We might be wondering whether these verses are actually talking about them. Are they now unable to come back to Jesus? And the answer is maybe, or maybe not. Many people do come back. Even Peter, Jesus' disciple. Remember, he denies Jesus, he comes back and is forgiven. And if in our past we've denied Jesus, but we're here this morning, we want to be reconciled with Jesus, well, then we can be absolutely certain that this passage isn't talking about us. Jesus' forgiveness is available to all who want it. But there are some people who never come back and never will. So I just want to remind us all, don't be lazy listeners, because it leads to immaturity and it leads to being burned. I guess one of the chilling images of chapter 2 was drifting. And the thing about being on a lilo at sea is you don't know you're drifting until it's too late. Now, back to these verses as well, 9 to 12. The preacher has moved from shaking us awake to warm encouragement, all for the same purpose, to keep us growing as Christians. The preacher's saying, remember how keen you were in your teens. He's saying how earnest you were. Be like that again. Keep earnestly listening like before. Keep growing. If we're a Christian here in this room this morning, remember how we were before, when we were so keen and enthusiastic for the Lord Jesus. When we were little, praying with our family before bedtime. When we were 17 after that summer camp, when we sang our hearts out, when we were 20 and we stayed up all night talking to our course mate about Jesus, well, because we know that Jesus is so amazing. Or at 22, when we came to love how the Lord is in control of everything. That's the earnestness that we're talking about. That's the earnestness that we might have lost along the way as we've settled into the rhythms of life and taking our foot off the gas. But our preacher says, remember how you were. Listen earnestly like before. Chapter 6, verse 12. So that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He's asking us to keep growing, listening earnestly like before. And now for the final part of the encouragement is that we would listen like Abraham. Listen like Abraham. Now we should listen like Abraham because Abraham heard God's promise, didn't he? Verse 14, saying, surely I will bless and multiply you. And he lived the rest of his life trusting the promise, starting with baby steps, getting things wrong at times. Except Abraham didn't settle down in his middle age. He didn't stagnate. He kept on leaning into what God was saying and kept on growing. As Abraham grew in his understanding of God's word, he was given even more assurance that God would fulfill his promise. He was given an oath to guarantee it. So Abraham waited patiently, grew in his faith, and he obtained what God had promised. And if we have the full assurance of hope, we'll imitate Abraham's faith and we'll wait for what God has promised, a salvation and eternal life in his presence. Our life and our soul is like a ship on a journey into God's presence. Imagine that for a second. And our hope is the ship's anchor. It's the hope we have of being with Jesus in God's presence. It's like an anchor connecting our soul to God. But the wonderful thing is that with Jesus, the soul's anchor has already entered into salvation, into God's presence. And it assures us that the ship will be brought there safely in the end. And if we have that anchored assurance, we'll be encouraged to keep sailing after Jesus into God's presence. We'll keep following Jesus rather than cut the anchor loose and sail off elsewhere, making a shipwreck of our faith. Now, there's a particular type of biblical understanding, which is once you've got a ticket in the back pocket, you're fine. And that assurance of salvation can lead to a false license to sin. But you can see here that it is the complete opposite. It's those who are not sure of salvation in the end who are most likely to give up on the Christian life and just indulge in a life of sin. But wonderfully, if we are sure that in the end Jesus will save us, then we'll keep listening to him. We'll keep believing in him and keep growing for the rest of our lives. Does it really matter if we continue to grow as Christians? It really matters. Don't be lazy listeners. Instead, listen like those who trust God's promise. It's amazing, isn't it, that the first half of our tagline here at St. John's is knowing Jesus better. And it's wonderful because that is going to help us be sure of our salvation. I've been so grateful since I've been here, by the way, at St. John's, the way that St. John's kind of focuses wholeheartedly on the in-depth Bible study. And so let's pay much closer attention to God's word and continue to grow as Christians. Let's commit to coming to church every single Sunday, perhaps morning and evening. Let's commit to coming to growth groups as well. They're brilliant. I would say that's personally where I've grown the most, during small groups, actually grappling through a passage with other people. You know, I think about my friend Russ in a second, and now I don't know whether he's going to come back to Jesus at all, and I will continue to pray for him. But it is so tragic, isn't it, to see such a mature Christian, somebody who was so eager and enthusiastic beforehand, fall away because he became a lazy listener and stopped growing. One of my biggest prayers, in fact, is that he would take to heart this very book that he gave me all those years ago. Don't waste your life. Now on to me. In a few months' time, I will be turning 40. And you know what that means, don't you? I'll officially be middle-aged. And everyone tells me about the danger of middle-aged, being middle-aged. The crisis, the creaking bones, the more frequent visits to the doctor. But by far the biggest concern is the danger of being of Christian middle age, starting well, but then becoming spiritually lethargic. Now, prepping this talk, I was thinking about these words for myself. I personally need to hear both this warning and the encouragement. Memories of my early Christian days are getting fainter. It's certainly possible to write a sermon and deliver a sermon without actually listening to what God is saying to me personally. I need to hear the warning as well as the encouragements to keep growing. Becoming a lazy listener would be terrible, wouldn't it? Instead, let's listen to those, like those who trust God's promise. I wonder whether any of you feel the same. Remember, this passage is a warning, isn't it? And if there's anything that you've been struck by this morning, come back to King Jesus as your anchor. But the passage is also an encouragement. Two people that spring to mind who I think really get this passage. One is a woman at my previous church in her 50s. She's an EastEnder. Left school at 16, never been university educated. But she takes her time to read the words of the Bible and to see what they're really, really saying. She finds it difficult to walk, but she's at church and midweek group every single week. She's there, ready to listen, ready to learn, ready to grow, and ready to be shaped by what she hears. She's such a lift to me. The other person I've been encouraged by is the oldest member of our congregation. And he is continuing to listen to God's word carefully and continuing to grow at triple figures. Do you know, as soon as he found out that he may lose his sight, he committed to memorizing as many of the Psalms as he could. What a wonderful example of how to keep growing as a Christian for the end of our lives. If I ever get to that age, I hope I do the same. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our faith in the Lord Jesus. Please help us to understand the danger of standing still in the Christian life and the danger of lazy listening. Please help us to listen earnestly like those who have faith in God's promise. And we pray that that would deepen our assurance of salvation so that we might live fruitful lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.